Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Two Sticks Podcast.
Everybody, welcome once again to another episode of the TwoSticks.com podcast, the official podcast for TwoSticks.com, Trapped Inside the Asian Mind. Once again, I'm your host, Michael Cho, and with me is June Park.
Hello.
And tonight we have special guest Abel Lin.
What's up?
So our other podcast members are not able to join us tonight. I don't remember what Key's excuse is. I'm sure it's a good one. Garrett's in Hawaii, so I hate him. But that's pretty much how things are tonight. Tonight's going to be a more serious podcast. I know last week we had a very nerdy podcast. June, I didn't even notice that you fell asleep. I thought you just got bored and left.
No, I actually... Well, I laid down because you guys were like in a heated discussion about something. And then I was like, I'll just listen to this and I'll jump back in later. And then when I woke up, everything was over.
Oh, okay.
Oh, God, I hope I don't do that.
I don't think it's going to be that bad. Now, how did everybody's weekend go?
Pretty good. I spent both of my free days making tamales.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I actually never made them before, but one of my coworkers brought them in. They were pretty good, so... it's pretty labor-intensive. Took me 2 days, but worth it. Mm. It was worth it.
So what's the whole process with that?
Well,
I mean, like you make the masa or whatever it is, and then you
mold it. I was going to make the masa, but then my boss and coworker, they're both Mexican, and they told me that even their moms don't make their own masa. So I just found like a Mexican bakery that sells the dough. And I just bought the pre-made dough, but the meat filling and the chili sauce, I made that from scratch on the first day. And mm-hmm. You have to cook the meat until it's really tender, so that took like 4 hours. And then the next day was like all the assembly, so you get the corn husks and spread the masa and put the meat and tie them up and then steam everything. So that took maybe 3 hours, 4 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Good times.
What type of meat?
I use pork.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
This is so... Abel, how was your weekend?
It was both good and bad. It was actually all football. I played a sort of a scrimmage game on Saturday. They're pretty good. Got 2 touchdowns. But I was laying out for a catch, and a guy collided with me, and he landed on my knee.
Ouch.
With my body. So now I have I don't know what's going on. It's definitely my LCL, but it could be sprained. It could be a tear, but I'm definitely limping. But otherwise, it's cool.
It's been a while since... football against church people?
Yeah, it was. And some friends from Boston.
Okay.
It was... I don't know. It's been a while since I've played such a... contact sport for like an extended period of time. Usually I play tennis or something more, I don't know, polo shirt like.
Anytime I play church football, it ends up in like a fight. Because we play other churches and I just don't think that's a good idea.
Are church people really competitive?
When you play with a bunch of jerk Koreans that cheat, yeah.
Yeah, actually, the baseball, in the baseball leagues for the churches, there was a fight. But that's, like, competitively. This was within within one church. It was a High Rock from Arlington, Massachusetts.
What did they get in a fight over?
Well, it was weird because we had a bunch of... We had 2 games going on, and one was a larger game, and... Uh-huh. It was a little bit more like friendly, newbie friendly. And then somehow I ended up on the 5-on-5.
Uh-huh.
And it was no huddle So you just constantly had to run. And I'm a really tall person. I'm a little bit close to 6'1". So June for like we you know obviously most Asians we tend to be like around 5'6", 5'8". I was the tallest within the wide receivers, so I was always the deep threat. I was always running threads, just running up and down, just to keep the defense honest.
Now, we got into a fight because this dude literally cheated during a church flag football game. He tied the flags to his belt.
Oh, so you couldn't grab them off?
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, so like how long did it take everyone to notice?
Oh no, it took like one play. He did it like a couple different times.
Was he like a well-established member of the church?
No.
Oh, okay. He was meant to flake out.
Yeah, so that didn't end well.
How about your weekend? Like, how was yours?
It was pretty good. Saturday, went to like the douchiest place in the Midwest to watch the Fedor fight.
Oh, you saw that fight?
Yeah.
Oh man.
No. It was just a sea of Christian Audigier inspired fashion that was just tragic.
That hit was just, I don't know if you heard it when you were in the stadium itself, but when they were broadcasting it on CBS, when Fedor contacted with Rogers, like you could hear it. It was just like everyone was silent and then it was boom.
Oh no, you could hear it too. It sounded like somebody slapping a steak. I mean, it was bad.
Gosh.
So did that. Sunday, went to a goodbye party for a friend. And that was a pretty good weekend. So got no complaints. It went better than Halloween, in which I did nothing. So okay, let's move on to our loves this week. June, do you have any loves this week?
Tamales. I was never really a fan. I mean, I actually never really had a good one, I guess. But ever since my coworker brought in the ones that his mom made, I'm a fan.
You know, I don't think I've ever purposefully tried a tamale before.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's kind of like you have to go out of your way to get one. It's not really.
Right.
It's not really like one of the first things you think of when you're hungry. I mean, if you're not Mexican. So.
Because that's what Mexicans think of all the time when they get hungry.
No, not all the time, but it's probably like a common thing that they eat, maybe on a somewhat regular basis, not like Asian people.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if Key was here, he would say when the Mexican people get tired of selling oranges on the off-ramp, all they think of is tamales.
They sell flowers in Boston.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, off of major exit 17.
I've seen that, like roses, like single stem roses.
Yep, that. And it's because it's right in when you're driving into Cambridge and Harvard Square, and it's the rose guy.
I haven't really seen too much of the selling stuff out here.
What?
It's mostly bumps.
Oh.
So that's how Chicago does it. Abel, what are your loves this week?
I am definitely loving fantasy football right now. It's as nerdy as it is. I just think football is just something. I mean, football is great if you watch it by alone, but if you put money on it, it just goes to a completely different level. And the shit talking and just everything is just wonderful. I love it. I'm actually looking forward to the movies actually this week, or we're going out on Friday. But I'm definitely loving some 2012.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, everyone was talking crap about it, but the previews, the people that got sneak peeks, like, on Twitter, and, like, you're seeing, like, the sort of, like, the word of mouth, it's actually been quite positive.
Hmm.
I just think that's going to be the crappiest movie ever.
Well, then that's good, because then you'll go in with low expectations, and maybe it'll be really good.
Oh, I'm not going to go.
No, can we talk about how on Rotten Tomatoes right now it's opening views, it's 83%. It's at 83% fresh.
Interesting.
I don't know.
I'm
Like, I'm really kind of disappointed in John Cusack.
not a John Cusack fan.
How can you not like John Cusack?
He
How do you not
looks
like him for his romance movies?
annoying. Like, same way I don't like Kevin Bacon. Something about the way they look.
I'm 1 degree from Kevin Bacon, and I am insulted.
Don't know. He just looks annoying, just like John Cusack. They're both not fans.
So you didn't like what the hell is that movie?
High Fidelity?
Footloose?
Might be before my time. A little bit.
Probably was before your time. I'm old.
Not old, just old enough for me not to get
Yeah.
that. I mean, I know the movie, but I've actually never watched it in its entirety.
It's definitely worth it. Chris Penn's in it, John Lithgow's in it, Skinny Ties are in it.
But so is Kevin Bacon.
Kevin
I've
Bacon.
actually never even heard of this movie.
Oh my
You've
God,
never heard of
really?
Footloose?
Wait, you don't know the song? I'm not gonna sing it.
No, I need. Why not?
Yeah, why not, June?
No, that's not. It's okay. But that's
Oh,
wow.
okay. It was in 1980. Dude, it was before I was born.
How old are you?
Wait. Hold
Are you talking
on.
about Footloose, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born in 85.
Oh my
What the
God.
hell?
Oh, I thought I was the youngest.
High five, guys.
80,
What the hell?
85, that makes you 24?
Yep.
Wow. Man, I'm always used to being the youngest.
I am apparently the oldest.
But are you like older amongst your circle of friends too?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am the oldest
So you should
usually
be
out of.
used to it. I'm always the youngest because Jeff's 3, almost 4 years older than me, and all his friends are that age too, so I'm always the youngest, but man.
You're all under 30. Just shut your holes.
All right.
I'm not going to say anything until I hit 27.
Yeah, well, apparently my love this week is canceled out by the fact that I am slowly marching towards death on this podcast. No, my loves this week are I don't know what my love this week is. I don't hate anything in particular. I guess the one love I have this week is Jiu-jitsu, mixed martial arts again. Training's getting pretty hardcore for it. So I've since learned that I really suck in like the great pantheon of like fighters. Like I fought some semi-pro like amateur fighters, like really good amateurs, the last couple weeks, just training. And man, I suck. And I look like Tina Turner, Rihanna. Whitney Houston, they have nothing on the way I got
Oh.
beat. It was just bad.
That wasn't racist at all, by the way.
I'm not impl Okay, well, let's think of some white women that got beat up.
What happened to your Shawn Merriman punching bag?
Oh, what's her face?
Tila Tequila.
Gila.
Yeah, I don't know. She's probably skanking it up somewhere else.
So if someone like confronted you on the street, could you do some damage, or would
I
you?
think that like against the average like douchebag, I would do fairly well. Against a seasoned like trained fighter,
It's a good skill to have.
I mean not so much. I don't know. Like I think now just I think if a drunk dude approached me on the street, I would sooner just kick him in the nuts and just take care of business that way than actually get into a long, dragged out
Is
fight.
there an unwritten rule about that?
You know what? I think you young when you're younger, you have the rule about kicking in the nuts, I think after you've been in a bunch of fights, that rule goes away.
Touché.
I mean, working as a bouncer, like, I got over that real quick.
So have you ever been in a real fight, then?
Not work-related?
Like a brawl.
Yeah, my second week as a bouncer, I was involved in a 25-person brawl at our bar.
Jeez.
That's outstanding.
I got hit in the head with a pint glass and a cue ball.
Ouch.
Which sucks.
Oh.
Yeah, I kind of went to sleepy time when I got hit with a cue ball, but I recovered. But yeah, it pretty much sucked. I mean, I walked in the door and there was a full-on brawl going on in the bar already, so I had no idea what was going on.
Wow.
I just know that I got hit with stuff. But yeah, that's probably like the most insane quote-unquote fight I've ever been in. But most of my fighting's just from kicking people out of the bar. Hates this week. Does anybody have any hates, dislikes, gripes?
I hate how it gets dark so early since we fell back an hour.
Yeah.
It gets dark like at 4:30.
I can't be too pissed about the whole daylight savings and the weather because I don't know, Gina, about you, but on the East Coast right now, we're getting like 70 degree weather right now in November.
Well, we get that. LA gets that all the time, but I mean,
yeah.
it's kind of depressing when you get up at 6 and it's dark and you leave the office like at 6 and it's dark. And you're like, you feel like your whole day's over. But yeah, I mean, you get used to it. It's just like initially when you're first adjusting, it just feels kind of like gloomy all the time.
I don't know. I always leave the house when it's dark anyway. So, I mean, I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock to go to work.
Gross.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's pretty vile.
That's when I used to go to
sleep. I got up early.
Yeah, I know.
That was my bedtime when I was unemployed. Sometimes like 7, 8 o'clock. Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me when I used to go to just camp out at Foxwoods.
You used to camp out at a casino?
Yeah. When I had the stamina and before I had a real job.
I thought casinos were 24 hours.
They are. So you just stay there, and then before you know it, it's like 8 a.m., and then, and then you just, I don't know, one time I stayed in the casino for more than 24 hours, and the bottom of my legs and my ass, like when I got back home to take a shower, it was actually like splotty black.
What?
Because I got blood clots from sitting for so
what?
Long. Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
Okay. Yeah, I literally, the only, I didn't eat, I didn't do, it was like in the beginning when I was like, I was really, it was kind of like the gambler's prayers, just please let me make my money back. I lost like 100, and when I was in college, when I was a freshman, that was like a big deal, and I just tried winning it back, and before you know it, I mean, I only got up to pee twice. I actually didn't pee that much because I didn't drink anything, I don't know, I just kept playing.
So how, I mean, would you have a problem on like a transatlantic flight or something for like 18 hours?
I learned from that and I usually get around. I at least like, I take a lap.
Wow.
Even if I don't have to go to the room, I do that.
That's crazy.
But,
yeah, that's pretty nuts, dude.
Yeah. A little TMI turkey, but.
Yeah, it's all right.
You're too young to have those problems.
No, it's okay. There's a lot of TMI on this podcast.
It's true.
Which is good. It brings us closer together.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
By choice.
So, Abel, do you have any specific hates?
Because I'm injured today, I actually got to work from home. And that was nice. But that was actually one of my sort of likes, not loves. I still had to work. But I decided to get a McGriddle.
Oh.
Like the first time in God knows how long. I hadn't eaten McDonald's since like, that breakfast food from McDonald's since like college. And that was the worst idea ever.
Did it give you the runs?
It was a no. It was just 1,030 milligrams of sodium that just got pumped straight into my system,
Yep.
and I was just it just threw me off the whole day. I was just ugh.
Yeah, when you don't eat McDonald's for a long time, or if you're not on like a steady diet, when you have it for like that first time in forever, it really fucks you up.
Yeah, it was almost like I don't know, I can't even describe it, but I just like felt like I felt really dirty, like my sweat,
Yep.
like I just felt like I was like sweating more, and it was just like
Gross.
I don't know, maybe it was like a placebo effect, but I was like, God, I feel like ass right now.
No, it definitely
So
happens.
I haven't had McDonald's in forever, and like had a hash brown, and I was really disturbed at how like lardy my tongue felt.
There's like a film on it.
Yeah, so I don't want to go back
Gross.
anymore.
Nice little sheen on your lips.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Okay. There's really no news. I mean, the only news that I could really talk about this week is Representative Joseph Cao, a Republican from Louisiana, was the only Republican in the House of Representatives that voted for the Democratic health care bill. And, you know, as a result, because America, fuck yeah, he was subsequently showered with all sorts of racial invectives because he went against what the party said. I don't think anyone's really shocked about that. I'm finding some tweets here. Right blogger Pat writes, "You bastard piece of shit fuck, go back to Saigon, South Vietnam, where you fucking belong, gook." Also, a
Angsty.
lot of right-wing bloggers have compared him to Chairman Mao, or at least they're calling him Representative Mao instead of Representative Cao, because, you know, they're both Asian and both responsible for the deaths of millions of people. So no, it's good. I'm glad the Republican Party is really trying to open itself up by going after people of color that choose to be in their party. Way to go, Republicans.
You know, a random tangent about that. I don't know if this is true or not. Was gook originally for Koreans?
Yep.
Yeah. I remember reading about that somewhere.
I don't think they came up with anything new for Vietnamese people. I mean, outside
Sloats,
from
zipper heads.
zipper head, I think is older. I think that comes from something before. Slope,
I don't get that.
I think, was older too. Slope or
Charlie?
zipper head.
Either.
I don't know exactly where slope is from, but zipper head, it was from the Korean War. Because when they used to run over North Korean soldiers, they would leave a zipper pattern on their head from the tires of
Ah,
the jeeps.
I get it.
Wow.
Slope, I don't know. I don't know where it comes from specifically, but let's go to Urban Dictionary.
I'm already there.
Urban Dictionary says it stands for a silly little opium peddling Easterner.
Wow.
Oh, that's number three. You go to number one. It's like it's any Asian resembling one of the reds, quote unquote.
That's a
Okay.
white person, non-educated thing. They're just like, whatever. Vietnam
Yeah.
era Charlie, like, you know, that wasn't written by anyone old enough to actually have fought in Vietnam. Because Vietnam era Charlie is redundant, first of all. Charlie in that context only refers to people in Vietnam during the Vietnam War for Victor Charlie for the Viet Cong.
Right.
Stupid. Urban Dictionary, although it is informative for aberrant sexual practices, is really not very helpful for other stuff.
Number four has a sliver. I mean, it says describing the slope of their eyes. That might be a clue. But I'm not sold.
No, neither am I. Anyway, so that's the big news for this week. I guess we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about our main topic.
And my time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test. Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it. Don't wanna be a richer man. Change it.
Turn and face the strain.
Change it. It's gonna have to be a different man. Sides, but never leave the stream of warm and permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the
strange. Changes.
Don't tell them to grow up out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the
strange.
Changes. Where's your shame? You've left us up to her next to me. Now may change me. You can't twist time. Strange fascination.
And we're back, and the topic of discussion this week is something a little bit more maybe serious, not necessarily like serious like AIDS, but I can't believe I chuckled after that, but
you made all of us to chuckle, dude.
Because AIDS is hilarious. it's basically life changes. I think we're all, you know, post-college, young adult, older adult in my case, we're all at that time where we're all transitioning from one stage of life into another, and you know, some changes we make because we want to make them, and some changes just happen to us, you know, organically over the course of our lives and careers, and just kind of how people have dealt with them, you know, the changes that they are looking forward to and changes that they were unexpected, and basically how they're dealing with that. I think just based on our particular Two Sticks audience, I think that's pretty good. I guess we'll start off with the obvious one. Abel, you are moving from Beantown
to
Rice-A-Roni Town.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. The only other nickname for San Francisco I could come up with is Gay Town. I'm sorry. What?
Funky Town.
Honky Town?
Funky Town, like the song.
Really?
Oh, Funky Town.
Oh, I swore I heard Honky Town.
I heard Honky Town, too.
No.
I was like, there are not that many white people in San Francisco.
Isn't it predominantly minority? It's one of the major West Coast cities.
There's a lot of Asian people.
Right? I'd feel kind of cheated if that wasn't the case.
So, Abel, you were born and raised in Boston?
No. Don't judge me, but I was actually born in Texas, Beaumont, and I moved out. I moved around the place, but it was a mixture of Taiwan, actually mostly New York. Actually, I was raised in New York City for a couple of years. Then I moved upstate because my parents wanted me to go to better schools. Mm. So, but yeah, I only recently moved to, I guess, the Boston area for high school and college. So it's been a solid, like, almost 10, yeah, it's 10 years at least, almost. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, that's fine. And so what precipitated your move out to San Francisco, your impending move?
I don't know. You know that scene in Old School with Will Ferrell? Like, the kids are asking him, like, "Oh, so what are you gonna do? Did you guys watch that movie?"
Yes.
Or is that too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not that old.
So you know that part where he goes, like, the kids ask him, "Oh, what are you gonna do for this weekend?" And he's like, "Well, it's a pretty nice little Saturday. We're gonna go to Home Depot. Yeah, you know, buy some wallpaper. Maybe get some more. You know, I don't know if we have time for that." And I don't know, I'm just getting to a point in my life where I feel like, I have a pretty decent job that pays me pretty decent money. I've been hanging out with the same group of friends for, over 8 years almost. I still have some friends that roll back to more than 8 years. And I'm just getting to this part where I'm getting very complacent, and I just feel like, I don't know, I just need some change. It's the time just to not feel, I just feel like I'm not growing personally right now, and I just feel like, I need something more challenging, a little bit more edge, and I feel like uprooting, to go out to the West Coast and maybe play some poker. That's probably a good solution for that.
Interesting.
Is there a big poker scene in San Francisco?
No, but it's a hell lot closer to Vegas, and there's a lot more casinos actually around in California.
So why NorCal rather than SoCal?
Well, actually, I have some family and friends that are actually in San Francisco.
I see.
For now. So I'll just try it out there. But I'm really mobile right now. I mean, I think the only thing I'm really bringing over there is clothes, my DJ equipment, and my computer. Everything else I'm giving away or selling.
Wow.
So.
Car?
No, good call. I'm road tripping out from Boston to San Francisco.
Mm. Nice.
The car's coming. Yeah.
Well, if you're ever in Vegas, you should let us know. Obviously, Jeff plays poker for a living, so you guys can be, partners in crime or whatever.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny how you mentioned Jeff. He actually gave me a lot of good tips. Like, I was on GChat and through some emails, I was just drilling his brain about, like, what made him decide to do it, Because there's a couple of times I wanted to pull the trigger, and I've been playing poker for almost 2 years. I grinded out like 2000 to like about 14.
Mm-hmm.
And, and this is what precipitated me to just move out and, to the West Coast, try to see what the West Coast is, but also probably lose the 14,000. Because I feel like, if I just want to pull the trigger and try it out for a year and do what Jeff does,
I think that's initially what he did. Obviously at first I was kind of skeptical. I think it's pretty normal. But, having decided not to go to med school and going back to school for graphic design, I felt like I wasn't really in a position to not let somebody try what they really wanted to do. So, kudos, because that's really, I think people should, if they can, you know, people should definitely try out what they really want to do.
Yeah, no, just to echo that, I just feel like right now, you know, I paid off all my bills, I have no debt, you know, I paid off my car, and just,
it's the right time.
You know, fuck it, if there's a better time to do it, you know, right. No kids, I have no kids, no house, you know, let's do it now.
No wife.
Yeah. That would
wow, that sounded kind of like melancholy.
No, I'm just saying, like, that would probably be one of the biggest obstacles.
Well, no, I just, on Abel's part, just, he kind of sighed there. It was kind of touching. and a little emo.
Yeah, well, dude, come on, like, all right, here's another weird angle to it. Like, my ex moved out to San Francisco.
Uh-huh.
This is before, you know, I decided to move out. She was actually in Portland, Oregon, and then she ended up in San Francisco. And I don't know. She was like one of those, she was one of the more serious ones, so it just made me think about that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm learning right now that the heart is stupid.
Okay.
It is. I mean, but it was never meant to think, you know? It was just only meant to feel. That's why you need to complement it with the other parts, preferably the brain.
Maybe your penis is stupid.
No. Penis.
Penis? No, that's a very strong force as well.
I've gotten, you know what? I think from now on, it's going to be penis and head. The heart, it's vetoed. I'm obviously having some issues.
Yeah, you know, it's like opposite day. You know that, right? Like, the more you're talking about the lack of heart, the more you want heart.
No.
No.
Mike's, I'm full of heart, Mike's man. Just, I'm all heart, and it's.
I know. That's why. Can we talk? That's what I'm saying.
Ugh. I guess that comes to my life change thing where I need to fucking settle down. And I know you young kids, you're running around with your PlayStations and your hippity hop.
Well, party foul. You have one too. Let the record show.
Hippity hop?
PlayStation.
Oh.
I don't have one.
Yeah. No. It's just a kind of like, I'm at this point in life where, like, I need to settle down a little bit. Like, you know, like, I'm going to be Peter Pan, you know? And it's going to be, like, in some senses, I think I'm fine with that because, like, I know that, like, if I keep on being Peter Pan, I'm just going to hang out with Joe, and we're going to do stupid shit, and it's going to be hilarious, and it's going to be great, and it's going to be fun. But there's going to be a point where, yeah, like...
Where you're going to miss your Wendy.
My Wendy?
Yeah, if you're Peter Pan.
Isn't Wendy die?
Oh, I thought you meant that red-haired bitch that sells burgers.
No. Doesn't the Wendy in the novel die as well?
Yeah, I think she does.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
never mind.
Yeah, so
I digress.
I'm gonna be 35 in a couple years, and that terrifies me. Like I wasn't all that worried about 30, but for some odd reason 35, I'm just like, shit, like, I gotta have kids and own property and.
Well, at least you're not a girl.
Well, yeah, speaking of which, June, you know, that baby factory.
Oh, my God.
Parts are under warranty.
Mine are still tip-top. They're they're going to be good for a long time.
Not if you don't want to put out defective product. Anyway, horrible. But, yeah, that's something that... I'm very concerned about. It's all of my friends are married. It's really funny. Even the people that all my close friends are married. Joe's not married, but that's because Joe and I are hetero life mates, and I think therein lies part of the problem. But yeah,
the fact that you have one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. most of my friends are married now, and you know, a lot of them are having kids. And even the ones like my acquaintances, the ones that I thought would never get married or that I knew I was going to get married before, yeah, not so much. I mean, like, even like the people that I thought like were the most unsuitable for marriage, fucking getting married. And yeah, it's just I'm at that age where I want something more constant than my subscription to Time magazine.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So is that a change? Is that a change for you? Did it happen recently, or have you?
It happened pretty recently.
Hmm.
I mean, it happened when I was like, you know, I should really start dating girls for what, you know, I think they're going to be like as wives and moms instead of trying to figure out what kind of underwear they're wearing or how they like their pancakes or eggs or whatever. I mean, it's not quite that crude, but I mean, it's definitely, you know, putting more emphasis on other things like your future. And that's not anything I really dealt with. I mean, up until recently, I mean, I had a couple flirtations with marriage and engagement in the past, and you know, I'm glad those didn't work out. But now it's kind of like, I mean, and it's taken me a long time to grow up too. So that's the other thing. I mean, since you guys are younger and most recently out of college, like, do you feel like you're adults, or do you think you're in a weird trying to establish yourselves phase?
I feel like I definitely know who I am much more than, let's say, like, when I was 18, obviously. I mean, when you're 18, you think you know who you are, and then 10 years later, you think you really know who you are. And I'm sure in another 10 years, then I'll think I really know who I am. I think you're just always learning about yourself, I guess. I mean, I don't know if I'll ever really feel like a grown-up until I'm, like, I don't know, 80. I mean, I don't know.
Wow, that's a pretty deep event horizon there. I don't even know if I'm going to make it to 80.
Not if you keep on getting blood clots because you're sitting on casino stools.
Jesus.
That's only on the legs, though. It's not like it's, like, close to the heart or anything, you know?
Wait till one of those things travels up.
Travel up, yeah. I knew you were gonna say that.
Dude, blood clots
You're
in general.
Such a spiteful man.
Blood clots in general are not really good.
But yeah, no. Just to piggyback what you were saying, June. I feel like, I don't know. I have a lot of limited experience. I've only been out of college for about 2+ years, so this is just coming from my perspective as a YAP in Boston. And for those who don't know, what YAP is, a young Asian professional. But
oh God.
Don't want to discriminate in case there's some white people hearing out there. But I feel like I've changed every like 2 years. Like in college, I remember like an upperclassman was like, I had a completely different scope. I got out of college, it was completely different.
For sure.
Vision and drive, and even now where I am, it's just like I'm still finding so much about myself, you know. And I think that was to the point that you were saying, I guess you'll never really know yourself until
you're dead.
I don't know, you've lived a life. I was gonna say you've lived a life, but dead works too. And wait, Mike, aren't you going steady right now, like the
no.
whole
no.
life thing,
pouring salt in an open wound?
It's not really an open wound. I just think that, we do love each other, but it's, she is right sometimes when she says that we're on two different worlds. And, I honestly, I do have a hard time opening up. Like, I think I'm a very closed off person.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems funny because I think a lot of people think I'm very extroverted, but it's like one of those things where like you put up a wall. Like, I'm very forward up to a certain point, and it's kind of like, it's that kind of persona that keeps everybody back from knowing the real me inside. But, no, that's totally how I operate. Like, I think out here in Chicago, two people know me well or have seen me like be actually me. And Joe's definitely one of them. And my other friend, Olivia, I mean, she's definitely seen that inside part of me. But it's very hard for me to let people in. So that frustrated Kathy. And, you know, God bless her. She's a beautiful girl, and I'd like to hold on to it, but I kind of know it's, I don't know. But I love her, and we'll see. I also think I'm not going to find anyone better than Kathy anyway, so that might be part of it, too.
Oh, God, don't start there. Oh, God. Dude, out of all the people, Mike, that have seen everything, like, you know, it's, yeah, I'm not going to preach to the choir.
I don't know. I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, in this particular case, I mean, I could go on and on about how I think Kathy is, like, the pinnacle of womanhood, but probably should. So
I'll send you a hug on Facebook.
I know. But I mean, what do you think the next big transitions are in your lives? Like the next big steps?
Well, I think obviously marriage for all of us, I guess. Well, I mean, for Abel, obviously moving across the country, that's huge. I mean, I remember when I moved from Philadelphia, I mean, I spent my whole life on the East Coast. And I guess I was kind of in the same position where I was finishing up college and I was deciding not to go to med school. And it was just like, okay, now what? And just kind of needed like a change of scenery. So, yeah. I mean, besides marriage, I don't know, the whole like parenthood thing coming up soon.
You know what, though? Like, I'm worried that I'm going to be more concerned about having to start getting prostate exams than have to worry about, like, marriage.
And don't forget your annual colonoscopy.
Whoa. Aren't those recommended, like, once you start, like, around the 40s?
Prostate's, yeah. I think, 35. Colonoscopy's a little bit later.
Like, 50.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, definitely in the mid-40s.
But, dude, that doesn't sound fun at all.
No, I took my father to his first colonoscopy. Let me tell you, that was an awkward drive.
Okay, I took my father to a colonoscopy. I saw things that I should not have seen ever.
The inside of your father's colon?
And the outside.
Ah.
Whoa, hold on. Don't wait, you guys like were in the room inside when it was being done?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can watch. I mean, it's not like it's not a procedure really. I mean, they're just a little bit sedated and, you know, it's not like an operating room or anything.
I did not stay inside. I was like, you know what? I'm going to leave my father with some modicum of dignity.
I also spent like a summer during college interning at a GI ward, so I definitely saw my share of colonoscopies.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
No son should ever see his father sodomized by anything, even if it's medical equipment.
But I remember him
saving face there.
I just remember him being in recovery, and he was like, you know, still kind of heavily sedated, and those hospital gowns are not really, you know, well secured.
Oh.
It was just one of those moments where it's like, okay, I'm taking care of my father, nothing more. Yeah. Something you don't really tell him about afterwards. You just keep it to yourself.
Yeah. You guys are way better sons and daughters than I am.
There's no one else, dude. I'm the only one.
I'm the only one too. I never had to do shit like that.
Oh, well, then you just got suck it up.
Yeah, okay. I'll just be jealous.
Yeah, there's really not a lot to be jealous of, but.
Oh wow, we're all only children.
Wait, Mike, you're the only child?
Yeah, I'm an only child.
Yeah.
Isn't it glaringly obvious by my need for attention that I'm an only child?
I guess results may vary, but yeah, I guess.
No, the closest thing I have to a little sister is Grace.
which I might say on a tangent, sometimes it's kind of creepy. That's cool. Because I met Grace, so it's okay.
There's nothing...
Like, if I didn't meet her and I didn't know her, like, her demeanor, how she truly is in real life, I would have been like, okay.
Yeah. There is no chance that that would ever turn into anything but what it is. It just, yeah. I mean, as far as the way your guys' lives have turned out, I mean, I know June says, she thought she was going to be a doctor. Obviously, not doing that. Abel, I don't know what your childhood dreams were. But looking back to where you maybe thought you were, like, maybe more realistically when you were in high school as opposed to the more fantastically when you were a kid, how would you say that, you've lived up to your own expectations?
Well, there are two things. There's two things I'd have to sort of counter with that. The first thing is the recession that obviously occurred that really impacted not so much my workforce, but our opportunities to rise within the ranks. That really took a hit on just our whole landscape and how we viewed ourselves as professionals and trying to be mobile. Like, I'm the only person that's still with my first job. All my friends have moved on within the first year. Mm. But I got a really good promotion and kind of like a good raise in 2008. And I was like, let me stick out for one more year and then I'll jump. But now looking at the economy, it's just terrible. And it's still pretty bad. I mean, they just released figures last week. I believe the employment is officially at 10.2. And that, 10.2% across the country. So, and that's not taking into consideration the people that are part-time that want to be full-time. So the number is much higher.
I think it's like 11.
And a lot of my friends who...
11-something here in California.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... California is pretty intense.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of my friends who were laid off, they've been still looking for work. And there's a couple of, people here on Two Sticks are still looking for work, It's just...
Yeah, it's kind of rough all around.
Right. But I'm sorry, to answer your question about my expectations, I consider myself, to be fortunate. I can never be too greedy, I have great friends, I'm in good health, minus the knee.
Blood clots.
Yeah, and the blood clots, which happened a long time ago. But, I'm not going to live that down with the blood clots, huh?
Hey, it's better than having to live down some of the other stuff people get shit for on the podcast.
That's true. Though I don't know if I should mention this. You hadn't really thrown a gay joke at me yet, which I'm kind of surprised.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, you're not gay. I mean, so it's just kind of like, yeah. And like it just kind of ran out of the repertoire, Like, it's just... The well is dried up. I mean, it's not that I wouldn't take pleasure in it. It's just kind of like...
You would.
Yeah, I mean, you know how somebody, like, on Two Sticks got a lot of crap for butt sex? Like, after a while, it just kind of got, like, meh. You know?
She's not even there anymore.
Yeah, but still, I mean, there's other things to, like, make fun of people for. And, I mean, honestly, like... I don't know. I think, I mean, this is going to sound so preachy and, like, but, like, honestly, like, since being gay has been so politicized, they're actually having an honest-to-goodness civil rights struggle, it's just not that funny anymore. God, I sound so Alec Baldwin. What the fuck? But, yeah, I don't know. It's just not as funny to me anymore as it used to be. You know what brought it up, the renewal, honestly, was the fact that Ilbum showed up back on the site with some regularity.
Yeah.
Because I know that bugs him.
Yeah, and he's engaged, too. Gosh. Dummy.
I know.
But, yeah. But, I mean, I'm basically stealing... the prototype of your life, June, right now, and moving from east to West. Mm-hmm. And how do you think that works out, how it worked out for you in hindsight?
Well, I mean, I had a lot of different factors going into it. I mean, everyone's like, oh, well, you basically moved out there for Jeff. I mean, it was definitely part of it, but it was just, you know, a lot of good things, a lot of good factors kind of prompted me to do it. I mean, I definitely needed a change of scenery, and I mean, I also wanted to see if it was obviously worth all the time and effort to put into this relationship. And I mean, it's, you know, everyone says it, it's so different. You really can't compare the two coasts. I mean, I miss New York, and I miss, you know, just being on the East Coast, but I really like California. I think you'll like it. It's totally different. I mean, it's definitely a stereotype to say it's more laid back, but it's very true, and it just kind of teaches you to, like, just enjoy life. I know it sounds, like, really, really dumb and kind of corny, but I think it's pretty true, because on the East Coast, everyone's always stressed out, and you kind of just lose sight of things sometimes. You're always just trying to, like, get ahead, or, I don't know, go to school, or whatever, get a prestigious job, and be successful and all that. And on the West Coast, I mean, people still want that too, but it's just a lot. I've learned to just appreciate things more and just kind of take time to appreciate and live day to day. It's kind of weird because I didn't realize that I wasn't doing that. So yeah, I think, I mean, you'll see probably in like a couple years, you know, if your outlook changes, just certain things start to change.
Oh, I don't even know if I'm going to stay there for a year. Mm. But, I no, but that's really encouraging. I'm glad to hear that you've transitioned out well. I don't know. It's just when I visited San Francisco and a couple other cities in California once or twice, except for L.A. I don't know. It just bugs me how, like, you can't jaywalk and, like, you walk really slow. Like, I've seen people get fined. Like, people were, like, saying, they look at you so weird when you jaywalk, and it's like,
really?
Yeah, just little things. And it's just like,
I jaywalk in L.A. all the time.
Yeah, no, in San Francisco, apparently, like, my friends who lived there, they said, like, you can't jaywalk because people actually fine you. The cops actually will pull you aside and give you a ticket.
Huh.
That happened to me in Pasadena, actually.
Interesting.
Bullshit.
You just gotta be watchful. Anyway.
I love that I moved to Chicago. I love this city. I really do. I mean, I love Denver. I love representing Denver, but fucking Chicago is my home now, and I really love this place. So probably for the rest of my life, I will be here.
Do you want to visit?
Yeah, it's if you'd visit, we'd take you to some interesting places. We could go watch the tranny fights at the corner of Clark and Belmont at the Dunkin' Donuts.
So not.
I love how you know exactly when and where, how this is going to go down.
So dude, the tranny fights are awesome because they start off like acting like all like trying to scratch each other and like pull each other's wigs off. Then somebody gets in a good hit, and then they remember that they're dudes. Then they just start brawling. And so it's like basically two like just jack trannies with like fake tits and like ass pads, you know, just throwing haymakers at each other. I mean, you know, someone gets hit when their like hair extensions fall off just from the sheer force. It's pretty amusing. Like I saw a tranny get hit so hard that track fell off her head. That was intense.
If I'm ever in Chicago, do not take me there.
Oh, well, I'll take you places to eat, like the place that does duck fat fries.
Yes, that's more like it.
Yeah, no, I just hear, like, I have one of my friends, when he got laid off from Bank of America, he went to an investment boutique in Chicago, and he loves it. Though he says that the town, the weather is terrible, and the tax is horrendous.
The tax is the highest in the United States. Thank you, Todd Stroger.
What's your tax?
Over 10%.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I thought 9.75% was bad.
10.25%.
Jeez. Yeah. Wow.
And the layout is weird, too, I heard.
It's a grid. You get used to it.
It's just like Manhattan.
It's actually really easy. I just don't like it when people tell me to head towards the lake. Because you can't really see the lake from where you are. It's not the same as when I was in Denver and I said head towards the mountains, you know?
Right.
Everything's flat around you.
I know. It's dumb. It's not like I can see the lake, so... But yeah, it's pretty easy to figure out after a while.
Mm.
But, June, yeah. Answer the question. How do you think your life is, turned out? Like, the way you thought it would, or...?
I don't really know if I ever kind of planned out my life. I'm not... I mean, when I was 5, I wanted to be a cowgirl, so that obviously didn't work out too well. I mean...
But did you really try to be a cowgirl, June?
I guess I didn't give it my all. Yeah, I didn't really commit to it, but I don't know, like, even in high school I really didn't know what I was gonna do, and I thought it was really odd when I got to college and all these 19-year-olds were like so gung-ho about their careers, and I was just kind of like going through the motions of pre-med life. So I sometimes wonder, what if I stayed on the East Coast, and, you know, what if I stayed with my parents, or what if I went to college in New York and just got a job out there and stayed there? Like, would I be even bitchier than I am now? Like, probably.
Yes.
Those things go through my mind sometimes, but I'm pretty happy with, you know, the turn of events. I'm very happy I didn't go to med school. I know I would be miserable if I did that, and... I'm super happy that I actually did what I wanted to and went back to school for design, so that's kind of cool. It took me a little bit longer than some of my friends, but I think, better late than never. But there's still a lot more to go, so we'll see.
Yeah, there is a lot more to go for you.
For you, mm-hmm. too.
I know. It's just, I think the thing that frightens me most about getting older is not that I'm getting older. It's the perception that the options are beginning to be more and more limited, you know?
Hmm.
Like, wait, on what's acceptable for you to do?
No, just kind of like...
Maybe you can be like George Clooney and just... Perpetual bachelor.
I don't want that, though. I mean, you think you do, because it seems pretty awesome, but no. I mean, I really don't want to spend the rest of my life being a millionaire and banging beautiful girls at my villa overlooking Lake Como.
Don't forget the pet pig.
Oh, yes, and the pet pig, and palling around with Brangelina.
He has a pet pig?
No, yeah.
He has?
That's amazing.
Well, his first one died, and he got another one.
Did he eat it?
No, I don't.
That's kind of insensitive, June.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
His name is Max.
You don't think if you had a pet pig that died, you might as well just...
No.
Really? Okay.
No.
Actually, no. Update. It was given to him by his former live-in girlfriend, Kelly Preston.
Oh.
But, when it passed away, he picked up two bulldogs instead, Bud and Lou.
Huh.
And but both dogs have died since then. One from a rattlesnake bite.
Oh.
That's kind of tragic.
Yeah, but definitely, I think it's the options shrinking thing. It's like when I was younger, when I was like 25, 26, like even like dating, like I could date pretty much. I could go after anything. I mean, A, because, you know... You're at that good age, you know, and women are still available. At my age, it's not. I don't want to say all the women have been like dried up, because I mean, obviously, I got to meet like a really awesome one. But it's always like for a Korean guy, I think in the back of the mind, like you're afraid of ending up with like that leftover daughter that pastor had. It's kind of homely.
The PK.
Yeah, you know the one that just ended up going to.
Oh, man.
Like divinity school or something. And it's just was willing to get with anyone just so she can have a kid.
Oh.
Oh, God.
You all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't go so far as to say they'd sleep with anyone.
Oh,
but...
no, not sleep with anyone, but like they, I mean, they end up getting men in similar situations.
Yeah, they just get married really quick.
Yeah, they do.
I'll leave it at that.
Most church people get married really quick, and it's frightening.
It's because they're repressed.
No, just like, yeah, just options in general, like my career, like I'm pretty much like I don't mind my career. I actually kind of like it, but it's not necessarily I want to do it because like, oh man, like doing third-party software solutions for insurance companies and auditing and consulting on their cost-saving measures is fucking gets me tumescent in the morning. It's more of, you know, it's a stable job. It's a growth industry, and you know, for some odd reason, I happen to be very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I wanted to be good at it; it's just it ended up that way. So there's stuff like that. I mean, like my only thing that I think I can get away with doing right now is just getting more tattoos, and nice. Even that limits so much other stuff.
Man, I don't understand how people get addicted to getting more tattoos.
Do you have any?
I have one. Yeah, I do. It's still not done, but it's like the very experience. I'm a bleeder, though. First of all, there's some people that don't bleed and some people that do. I just happen to. You stick me with anything, I just.
Oh no!
It's like soup.
I'm a bleeder too. Like I bled a lot, but I can see how it's.
I'm sorry. I'm like
Mike. Seriously. Oh my god! I didn't even think of it that way until
I bled a lot during my tattoo.
Context.
We'll just let Key edit that part out.
Key, correction. Don't listen to her.
But I. All right. What was I talking about?
Oh,
I can see how it's addicting. It's just kind of like a release. Like, I don't know. I can see how it's kind of like cathartic in a way.
Like, how big was yours, June?
Oh, they're both pretty small. I mean, when I was in college, I can only afford something that was probably like 2 inches at the most. And the only reason I stopped was because I got like my life threatened by my parents. But, that and
they actually threatened your life.
Well, I mean, you know, Korean parents. Just and that and like when you get older, you kind of realize like you probably want something that has meaning to it, and it just takes time to find something like that. Mm. But when I first got them, it was pretty addicting. I thought, like, you get kind of a rush from doing it, and then you just kind of want to like get that feeling again, just like, you know, any addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I researched mine for 2 years, and I finally just got it when I graduated, when I came back from China.
How big is it?
It covers my shoulder blade. It's
nice.
The thing is, it runs into my spine, and let me tell you, that was just, I don't know, I felt like my, I don't know, I just felt like my, it was like, it was, the spine was like shattering 6 ways from Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why, because he'd have to like poke it very gently, like he couldn't like just go through it, because I just couldn't keep still, like he was just going over my like, it's very bony, so like, you know, like he wasn't running into flesh, it was just all bone. I don't know why, it just hurt like hell.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean... I would definitely want to get another one, but it's kind of hard just to decide on something that you're not going to regret.
I have 3 on deck, so it's just a matter of getting them done. I already know which 3 I want next.
So. Are they going? Is it 3 different ones, or are they complementing the ones? Are you building on them?
One is I want to get 2 sparrows on my chest, like right, like below my shoulder, like where the pec meets the shoulder.
Right.
But I saw that Mark McGrath had something similar.
Oh yeah. he's had those.
Yeah. So I feel kind of weird about it, but it's a very traditional sailor-y kind of tattoo.
Yeah.
And the other one is something... God, this is going to sound so fucking emo. But I want to get a stylized heart tattoo, like, over my heart that disintegrates into, like, cherry blossoms that are floating away or blowing away in the wind.
It's pretty emo, dude.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty fucking emo.
That's a haiku, right? Just go write a haiku on that one.
It's better than getting, like, something lame like a safety pin, because that's what holds my heart together.
Or a Band-Aid.
Oh, yeah. I did want to get Love and Hate actually tattooed on my fingers, but I sobered up. And that never happened.
Good.
No, you should get, like the one in StarCraft. They have the pain.
Oh, yeah.
That looks kind of cool.
I was going to get a Bible verse tattooed on my back under the cross, but I decided to not do that either.
Why not?
It was going to be Psalm 144:1.
Okay, Jesus.
Blessed be the Lord, my strength, that teaches my fingers to fight and my hands to war.
Oh, it's like Saving Private Ryan one.
Yeah.
Nice, dude. That is raw. I don't know. As a guy, I'd approve.
Yeah, but like I didn't end up, like, I have no desire to be like a professional fighter. So then I just look like a big poser with a tattoo. I might as well just go buy a bunch of tap out shirts. It's cheaper and less commitment.
I mean, as long as you enjoy it and it means something to you, like what June said.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not necessarily the lifestyle, it could be the things that you've done, you know. And I've read your stories from your blogs and your days as a bouncer. It's not like you don't have a decent resume.
Yeah, but like, it seems like, I don't know, like, that's not the part of my life that I want to glorify. And I'm not quite sure, like, what part, like, if I had to make, like, a A&E biography special about my life, what I would highlight. You know? I mean, if they had to make an after-school special on your guys' lives, what would you want to be there, like, in the time capsule?
We want to hear June's.
What?
I mean, if it was up to me, it would be all about phone calls and 2 sticks banners.
Oh, my God.
For the kids. Like, think of the kids.
That was like a blip on the radar. I don't know. I mean, I don't really think my life is very interesting, or it's pretty normal.
Well, what stands out for you, though? You know?
From, like, birth till now? I guess the major points are my parents getting divorced when I was 5 and then getting remarried to each other when I was 10. Leaving.
Was that confusing?
What? I don't remember. I think I was kind of young, but I don't think it was confusing at all. I think once they got divorced, I just really wanted them to get back together. And I didn't even know, like, at that age, I didn't really know that dads and moms separate and then marry other dads and moms. I just thought they either stay apart or just get back together. So, then that happened, and then when I was 14, my dad got transferred to Maryland from New York, so that was kind of traumatizing because all my friends were from, like, kindergarten up until that age. So that was a big change, especially from New York to Maryland, like in the middle of nowhere. Really, really weird. And then college was definitely a big change because it's like first time you have no parental units whatsoever. You can do whatever you want. And then I moved out here. So I guess those are like the major points.
Cool.
It would be a pretty boring after school special, though.
Yeah. Abel?
I don't know. I think I feel like mine would be something about my faith and just how it's contracted or expanded throughout my life and the people I've met. I don't know. the woman that I've dated. I don't know. I feel like for some strange reason in college, like, you know, because in high school, I was kind of a late bloomer. In high school, I was all about the church. I was like a worship group leader thing. I was a Sunday school teacher, you know, so I was throwing my youth in the church. And then college, I don't know how, but like this thing of what, like, you know, I mean, you know, girls and stuff like that, and it's cool, whatever. But like, you know, you don't really understand them. I didn't really understand them until college. I mean, not in the sense that I understand who they are and what women want and stuff like that, but it's more like that became a more larger role in my life in terms of relationships and how they shaped me and vice versa. I don't know. I've only loved two people in my life, and when the, you know, my first love, when she passed away from liver cancer, that had like a huge, huge impact on how I saw things. But yeah, pretty much that. And I think my parents could pretty much sum it up, like my failed, wasted youth of playing chess semi-professionally. I don't play that anymore.
Wow.
I played piano for 13 years. I don't play anymore. I used to draw and do portraits. I don't do that anymore. So it'd probably be more of a Tyson documentary of having something but now having nothing.
How do they feel about you pursuing poker?
Oh, I'm not even going to tell them. Uh-huh. I mean, my dad can't say much because every time he sees me, I always brought back money. So he just kept his mouth shut, even though he disapproved. And my mom, the only reason why she's not disowning me right now is also the fact that I'm bringing home money.
Interesting. Yeah. It's kind of weird. I mean, they'll take your money, but they don't approve of the way you got it.
Yeah.
I think that's
funny how that...
It's probably pretty common, though. I don't know a lot of people who play poker or do things like that who get 100% approval.
No. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's wrap this podcast up by one last question. Ideally, what would you want to be most remembered for?
Mike, you take this one. You're closer to than most of us. So.
Thanks, ass.
It's like you have a good head start.
Man, I was not gonna bust anybody's balls after the cancer thing. And I probably still can't. Fuck. I think I would probably. I'm probably going to go down, I think, realistically more as like maybe a Pagliacci tragic clown kind of figure. Ideally, I would like to go down just as a dad, a good dad, which is not something that I would have said a year ago. Not even, I think, something that I would have said 6 months ago. Well, no. Yeah, I would have said it 6 months ago. I wouldn't have said it a year ago. I think a year ago, I would have said I wanted to be known for putting a black man into the White House. Yeah, I just want to be remembered by somebody, by anybody, you know? Knowing that my parents are getting older and... unfortunately, I haven't really shown them a lot of fruits for their hard labor that they put into me. So that's a little depressing, and I don't have anybody else. I mean, if my parents go, man, there's not going to be anyone to remember me.
That's not true.
Except for the lovely people at Two Sticks, but because digital media is permanent. I I would like to have an effect on somebody's life, something significant, so that's why maybe I feel like a family or something would give me that sense of permanence, like I actually existed.
Well, you're not so, like 50, dude. You still have time.
Plenty. Yeah, you're giving like the legacy speech.
I know. You're not terminal.
No, I'm not. But I mean, it just kind of like, I think it's like more like I'm thinking. I meant there was some switch flipped at some point where I was less concerned about making a bigger like public splash and more concerned about making a smaller personal effect, you know?
I see.
I mean, even if I had to haunt like an ex-girlfriend by saying like, you know, wow, like Mike loved me in a very like unique way, I'd be fine with that. Something that involved chicken feathers, peanut butter, and, you know, carpentry tools.
Interesting.
No, but yeah, I would rather make a smaller, more intimate impact on one person than I think when I was in college, where I thought like I'm gonna go out and rock this world to like an AC/DC soundtrack. Mm-hmm. June.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see myself being like a huge philanthropist or like a UN ambassador or anything like that. I think most people just kind of want to be known, like you said, you know, having an effect on someone's life, just someone close, or like your kids or your spouse or your family. I guess it'd be pretty cool, like, if I was known professionally, like, if I designed some super popular ad that just becomes, like, iconic in the next few decades, that'd be kind of cool. But I'm totally cool with designing stuff that nobody even thinks about, too. So, I think it's all about the people around you and how they remember you. Abel?
I don't know. I haven't even thought about that question. You know, you ever get that weird daydream where sometimes you think about who would show up in your funeral?
Yeah.
You guys ever do that? Or, I don't know, have you ever had an emo moment where you're like, oh, I wonder if I disappeared, you know, who would come and say, like, good, kind words about you and stuff, shit like that?
Right.
So I think that's about as far as I've ever gone about, like, in terms of, you know, having an impact or leaving a legacy of life of significance, so to speak. But I guess I'm still young enough where I still want to make my mark on the world. And I guess, as you said, Mike, you know, rock it like AC/DC.
Yes.
And this is, I don't know, this is coming from me, but I definitely think you guys still can, for sure, you know? This is coming from a different POV, but I definitely feel like that's something that should always be in your life, regardless of where you are, you know? I mean, the kids and different things, you know, the family thing is great, but I don't know. I feel like even if I'm like 30, and maybe perhaps I'll eat my own words when I'm there, but even when I'm 30, and it's maybe because of poker, there's so many old people that are successful in it and still play it, I still feel like I could still make an impact on the world somehow, you know? But, yeah, I guess if anything, my immediate answer would probably be just like generosity or philanthropy or something like that. Sounds shallow and very cliche, but I think for now that's what it'd be.
So if you make it big as a poker star, you're gonna start giving your money away?
I've thought about it already, like exactly the percentages and down to what I would give to the alumni and, you know, or Asian American interest groups. And yeah, definitely my churches, some of the churches I've gone back home, and some of my really close friends and family, obviously.
Cool.
So yeah, I've thought about it.
That's cool.
I definitely want to give something back to my college. Ever since I found out that $25,000 could get a bathroom named after you, I'm totally all about that. No, I'm serious. I want to have a bathroom named after me.
That's,
you know, it'd be really terrible if we had this whole Bible thing wrong, and when you die, your spirit dwells in the things that have your names.
That's fine, because I know which bathroom I'm going to choose, and it's in the political science building, so not the one with the glory hole inside the chem lecture hall.
Mm.
definitely do not want to be known as the Michael Cho Memorial Glory Hole.
Well, I'm pretty sure there's an actual park, like an actual June park in Florida. Doesn't sound too bad.
For someone else or for you?
For me, if I were to die and that's where I lingered, I wouldn't hate it.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know, for sure. There's not too many Abel Lynn's out there, unfortunately.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Kathy will forever remember you as the person that she beat in Two Sticks Final Fantasy.
Oh, man, okay. I'm not going to bring up the conversation that we had before, but I kind of want to, though, now.
Go for it.
Oh, man. When I just,
she doesn't listen to this.
Not so much. Not so much I don't mind her, you know, her going to the playoffs or anything, but I'm actually quite surprised that she's the one who's talking the most trash in our league. That's the number one thing. So I just want to just get to that point when we get into the, you know, one-on-one in the playoffs. I don't care if I win or lose the league, but when I beat her, June... Mm-hmm. I just want to say something just completely sexist dinosaur, like, was that good for you too? And I go make me a sandwich, you know, or something like that. That would feel so good.
You know, I'm the one that would have to take the brunt of that.
I'd just deal with that. But dude, it'd be like the one defeat or the one victory for all of us, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I see your point. But I have to live in this city. And she moved closer to me.
That's an omen right there.
No, honestly, she talks smack because I hate to admit it, but I goad her into it.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, now that the cards are all out, you know, that's... Thank you. I'm glad.
I pretty much say, yeah, Abel thinks you're going to lose.
She's such a fluke. Oh, my God. She, like, basically picked all of New England. You know, the Tom Brady, like, outfit. And though she did get, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew. I don't know how. Now that I look at it.
Thomas Jones.
Yeah, MJD and everything. Like, now that I look at her draft, I don't understand how she got some of the skilled players that she got. Sorry, June. But, like, she, yeah. Kathy, she got some players that were really good. Well, they're expected to be really good, but. She didn't think at all about the schedule or the matchups. She just, like, brought in by brand, basically. And it's doing well for her, apparently.
Doing real well for her.
Yeah. But but let the record show, I was the closest person. Well, no, I lied. No, I take that back.
Strike that from the record.
Oh, man, I can't wait to... I'm playing her next week. I'm playing her next week. You should give me an open under, Mike.
Dude, I'm not getting in the middle of this. There's no, like, I don't win. These things happen. You know, I mean, like you have to understand that, like, I am trying to be on Kathy's good side. Because I have to make up for some pretty horrible mistakes and oversights. I realize that maybe I am not the best boyfriendy material in the world.
Whatever. In the end, she's going to get schooled like a stepchild, and I'm going to love it.
You know what, though? She has laid down the most insane smack. Like, her victories, like, some of them, are incredibly lopsided. Like, she put down over 120 points on me a couple weeks ago because I suck.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it was...
But yeah. She put down a 150-point beating on somebody earlier. That's impressive.
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's going to be sweet, sweet when I play her next week. And then I'm going to take her in the playoffs. Oh.
What if you lose?
I don't know. That's not an option.
It certainly isn't an option. 1944,
I'm in the pillbox. And let's do it.
She's the Nazis?
No. 1944? Pillbox?
Oh, D-Day?
Well, yeah, actually, the Germans did build some, too. Yeah, no, I'm in the Pacific Theater.
I mean, she put down 190 against whoever touchdown maker is in week 6. 190. That's disgusting.
It happened before, dude. It's in the past. I'm just looking for next week. Mark my words, June and Mike. You got as my witness. I'm gonna play out next week just for you guys.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, it's just.
This is the Two Sticks Final Fantasy.
I have like this glazed look on that. My eyes are glazing over. Sorry.
Okay, this is the Two Sticks Fantasy Football League. I keep on calling it the Final Fantasy League, which shows you what sort of nerd I am.
That would actually be more interesting.
But basically, what it breaks down to as far as Two Sticksers, Sean, Destruction, was number one, but he got beat this week by Kathy. So Kathy's going to be number one. That's going to put actually Abel in second place on points in the league. Sean will be third. Key is still going to be sixth. And Tenjay, myself, and Curry Chicken are bringing up the rear because we all suck.
And let the record show, I was the person that first replaced Sean as number one for a while.
Yeah, but Kathy's points are pretty hardcore. I mean, she's got like a game's worth of points on everybody.
All I heard was curry chicken, and now I'm hungry.
Okay. Get some curry chicken. Abel, thank you for joining us. We'd love to have you again.
Thank you, guys.
On the podcast. If listeners on the internet wish to follow you or find you, where can they find you?
I actually have Twitter. I have Twitter at my handle is AJLin. And if you ever happen to be in the Boston nightlife, I also DJ. My DJ handle is DJ KSPY, KSPY.com. So how about you, boy?
June, where can people find you on the internets?
I guess the easiest place is Facebook. You can find me. Try to find me. There's a lot of June Parks.
What college were you?
I'm sorry?
What network are you in right now?
I'm not sure. Maybe Orange County, because I used to live there. I don't know if it switched over, but I went to Haverford College. Haverford.
Mm-hmm. I'm not in a network. I can be found on Twitter at twitter.com/MikeyCho, MikeyCho. And as always, you can find us all at twosticks.com and the forums. Please join and sign up. Subscribe to our podcast and review us on iTunes. And thank you very much for joining us. And we'll be back next week with an all-new podcast. And this time the podcast topic will probably be something silly. And then we'll probably end up taking a break after that because it'll be Thanksgiving. And then we will probably have our first non-denominational, non-religious baby Jesus celebration podcast. Okay, thanks everybody.
Good night.
Night.
Bye.
Go, hey, little mama. I could transform ya. No, I can't dance, but I could dance on ya. Swiss on the beat, Chris, move your feet. And baby, I could transform you, him to a me. I could change your life, make it so new. Make you never wanna go back to the old you. So rock and line, give it a little time. And she gon' transform like Optimus Prime.
Need a ride, I can range you up. Money, I can change you up. You can have your own, no longer be the passenger. Swag, low, I build you up. Knees, I stand you up. Red lips, red dress, like I'm like a fire truck. What you need, you can have that. My black card, they don't decline that. See potential in you, let me mold that.
I can transform you, I can bounce on you.
I can transform you, girl, I can transform you. Anything you want, I can get it for you. I get my baby girl, so you know I did it for you.
Yo.
can have you swag surfing. What you need, you can have that. My black card, they don't decline that. See potential in you, let me mold that.
I can transform you, I can transform you.
I can transform you, I can transform you. Anything you want, I can get it for you. Get my baby girl so you know I did it for you.
From a human to a carter, take you off a bench, turn you to a starter. Then I take you home and put you on a charger. Then my car transforms to a charter, and we can fly to wherever you ever thought of. I take you to where it's warmer, then I gotta rip off your dress like a warm-up. But I'm just getting warmed up, so tell your man he better get his Voltron up. I transform her to a Ducati, then I transform me to a Bugatti. Cause her form puts me in a trance. I transform smaller and she puts me in her pants. Swiss Swiss on the beat, Chris move your feet, and we to transform a good girl to a freak.
I can transform you, I can transform you. Anything you want, I can get it for you. I get my baby girl so you know I did it for you. I can transform you. Anything you want, I can transform you.